record now?
No, now I'm on the record. Anyway, Bekitsur, anything I say now, canon will. Huh? I support a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I support a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the candidate that most has policies that are in line with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's policies has my vote. That's it. Period. End the story. That's the way it works. Huh? The other one, anyway, Bekitsur, you know, the whole week they're sending me text. You know these guys? I don't know how they find me. Anyway, Bekitsur. So every time, so what I do is just to have a little fun. Can we count on you to have your vote for Mechashefa? So I say, Yemach Shema. And then I block. And then another one. There's another one, another Mechashefa lo techayim. So I write them. Shema. Anyway, Bekitsur. Oy tate, what I want to tell you is that with regards to the Eiruv, there is a very large-scale machloket rishonim, this is not news, about what causes something to be... I told you your questions become shiur-worthy. But what exactly makes a reshut rabim deoraita? We know that, you know, when the Chachamim instituted an Eiruv, this is from, you know, 2 years ago almost, when the Daf was studying Eiruvin, so Baruch Hashem... with my Daf Chabur, we do Eruvin, we did a Beyun, we did Maran, Rashi Tosafot, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. So we had all the halachot of Eruvin down pat. It's important to realize that there's a machloket mishonim, what makes any given area eruvable versus non-eruvable. If something is a Rishut Rabim De'oraita, there's no way that you can take a Rishut Rabim De'oraita and with an Eruv allow carrying in it, because by definition, Rishut Rabim De'oraita cannot have an Eruv. Eruv Rashuyot, which is what this is, it's supposed to mix the different areas. What it does is it takes, so we know that there are two Rashuyot Midoraita and another two Midrabanan. The two Rashuyot are domains. There are two domains according to Torah law, Rabim and Yachid, which is public and private domain. And then you have two Rashuyot Midrabanan, two rabbinic domains. That's fine. Joel's going to bring me. The whole matzah, he knows. Yeah. I mean, I'm not so particular, but whatever. Is there any coffee here? Regular? Just not? No. Leave it. It's bitul
Torah. Black coffee,
man. It's not hot. Huh? Oh, it's not hot. No, Oi Josh, what do you call it? Oi. What do you call it? Okay, fine, please.
Black
with the sugar. That's it. Shkoyo. It's fuel. Anyway, I'm not so. The Birkei Yosef, Maran Achida, writes in the beginning when I don't know how old it is, but I guess coffee was a little bit new in the times. Achida lived at the end of mid to the late 1700s. So he said the Chachamim of the time actually were thinking to make a special bracha on coffee because of its, he's talking about smell. The poskim actually say if you very, very much enjoy the aroma of coffee, you can even make a bracha of Boreh Minim Samim on it. There's a machlok at the poskim. We technically don't hold like that today, unless you're mamash, you're infatuated with that aroma, which many people are. There is, if you look in Chazon Ovadia, Tu Bishvat and Brachot, huh?
I said that once here, if a person makes the Bishlamim, you can no longer eat it.
Yes, so it depends what you take it for. That's another part of the machloket. But let's say you walk into a coffee shop just to smell. You walk in just to smell the aroma, and a person's mamash enthralled by it, so meikaradin, you can make a bracha on it. Now, that being said...
Pizza.
Huh?
Pizza.
So...
You
smell it.
Pizza.
You smell it. You don't have to be holding it. It's here. The scent is here, and it's coming from something. The poskim don't talk about pizza, they actually talk about bread. Okay. Can you make... And Maran Zichron Rechai actually brings down machlok to poskim, and he says, according to... It's better not to. Minhag is not to, but if a person... Let's say walks into a bakery and the scent of the bread is wafting. You're, according to the letter of the law, if you want to rely on the poskim to make Boreh Minim Samim on that, you may.
So that depends
what kind of not kosher. So it depends. Is it basar bechalav non kosher, in which case it's asur behana'ah, or is it just not have a hechsher not kosher, in which case. Not necessarily asur ban, many different zachen. So I want you to listen carefully back to the Eiruv situation. So machlok da poskim, what constitutes a reshut rabim? The other two domains, midrabanan or karmenit. Karmenit is a pseudo Reshut HaRabim, which means it's kind of quasi Reshut HaRabim, quasi Reshut HaYachid. And then you have Mekom Ptur, which the Chachamim did not even forbid carrying to and removing from something that's just about 10 tefachim in Reshut HaRabim, which is many times the example of choice for Mekom Ptur, is a fire hydrant and the such, without getting into all the nitty-gritty details. So now, if something is a Reshut HaRabim de'oraita, there's no way to make an Eruv and allow carrying from Reshut HaYachid to it. The only way to allow making an Eruv is only if it is a Karmelit or below. If it's a Karmelit or even a Reshut HaYachid, sometimes you can have multiple Reshut HaYachids, even if there's no Karmelit between them. Can you carry from one Reshut HaYachid to another owned by two people? No, it's Asur. But what? So what do people usually do? They make an Eruv among, to combine different Reshut HaYachids to allow carrying from one to another. Many times you'll see that in places that don't necessarily have... Correct. You'll see sometimes in Brooklyn or places that don't have an active Eruv, sometimes you'll see a Eruv Chatzerot that combines several different houses or you know a block of houses. What they do is to do that, to combine a bunch of different Reshut HaYachids so you can carry from one to another, or to combine a bunch of Reshut HaYachids and a Karmelit. Now, what is the halachic difference between Reshut HaYachid and Karmelit? That is a very, very big deal. Maran HaShulchan Aruch on this topic is very unclear. According to some poskim, Maran HaShulchan Aruch left it vague on purpose, meaning he brings down the different opinions, but it's hard to know exactly what he means. Some poskim hold that as soon as the street, as soon as the rechov is ted zayin amah berochav, which means it's 16 amot wide, every amah is about a foot and a half. So 16 times a foot and a half is, you know, huh? No, much less. Huh? About 24, it's machlok between 24 to 30 feet. Many, many streets in the world today would easily conform to that. Middle Neck Road is 24 feet wide. Main Street is 24 feet wide. Almost any, even you know, private residential streets, many of them are 24 feet wide. So according to that view, many of the places that we have today wouldn't be eruvable because of these streets. Luckily, we have about 21 Rishonim and Geonim that disagree with this, namely Rashi, Vetosafot, and others who say that in order for something to constitute Reshut HaYachid, Reshut HaRabim, it's not only that it has to be 16 amot wide, but it has to resemble the Digle Midbar, which means it has to resemble the streets that were in the Midbar. Where do we learn all the Reshut HaYachid, Reshut HaRabim from? Am Yisrael were in the Midbar, right? By the Mishkan. Reshut HaYachid was the camp of Am Yisrael, Machane Yisrael. Reshut HaRabim was the desert. Now, what was special about the desert? When Am Yisrael were traveling through the desert, there weren't really, you know, official streets in the desert, but as they traveled, they always traveled in a pack of at least 600,000 men. So according to some poskim, unless you have a street that is traversed daily by 600,000 men, it doesn't constitute a Reshut HaRabim de'oraita. It would be considered only a karmenit, which is a public domain only on the rabbinic level, in which event you're allowed to make an eruv in such a place.
Men or people?
Huh? People altogether. It doesn't have to necessarily be men. 600,000. Now there's a machloket between Maran Zichron Bracha and Rav Moshe. Is it specifically pedestrian traffic? Like it was in the Midbar, because in the Midbar, well, they weren't really pedestrians in the Midbar because they weren't really walking in the Midbar. What were they doing? They were, you know, ananei hakavodim, you know, through the Midbar. They were kind of floating through the Midbar, so it wasn't even really foot traffic, but that's the closest thing to their method of traveling in the Midbar is walking. Or do we consider other methods of transportation through those streets, like cars, trains, bikes, stuff like that? That's another very big machloket. Now, that being said, for different reasons, Rav Moshe has several tshuvas about why Brooklyn and Manhattan are non-eruvable. That's famous, but in Kew Garden.
Anywhere, or just Midtown?
Well, I mean, he didn't live. Rav Moshe didn't live in Midtown. Rav Moshe lived in Lower East Side. So even over there, even though he was surrounded on multiple sides, he was surrounded on one side by the FDR, on the other side by the Hudson, by the East River. You know, Manhattan is an island, and yet Rav Moshe Zichron Levracha held that it was uneruvable. So Maran Zichron Levracha never weighed in specifically on Manhattan. Only in one place in the Sfarim did he weigh in specifically about Brooklyn. But Maran Zichron Levracha disagrees with many of the points that Rav Moshe made, which is legitimate. It's a machloket poskim like any other. That being said, Kew Garden Hills is a totally different animal than Brooklyn for several reasons. First of all, Kew Garden Hills doesn't have an Ocean Parkway or an Eastern Parkway or a Fifth Avenue or an FDR Drive. Kew Garden Hills only has a Main Street. Now, even on its busiest day, Kew Garden Hills...
It's pretty busy, though.
Not like Ocean Parkway. Not even close. Not like Ocean Parkway. Huh? Queens Boulevard is a little bit of an issue. That was questionable. That's why Rav Moshe did not approve necessarily. Now, today there are a few changes made, but I'm not even talking about the Forest Hills, Rigo Park, Eruvim. Rav Moshe specifically approved in Igrot Moshe the Kew Garden Hills Eruv. Now, Kew Garden Hills is interesting. Not only that, according to the way it's made today, the construction of the Kew Garden Hills Eruv, that I'm also involved in the Kew Garden Hills Eruv rabbinic situation, whatever that means. But, thank you. Wow, this is big. Huh? It's esh koyach to you. Anyway, bekitzur, so I spoke to the engineers and the Eruv architects. It's made much differently than it was in previous generation, the Kew Garden Hills Eruv. And it makes it better such that even according to the Rambam, which in general it might not have been kosher according to the Rambam and only according to the Rama, today's Kew Garden Hills Eruv would even be acceptable according to the Rambam and Shitat Maran HaShulchan Aruch according to the understanding of many poskim. The reason for that is because the Kew Garden Hills Eruv is enclosed not only by Tzurot HaPetach but by actual barriers on three sides. And the reason for that is because Kew Garden Hills on three of its sides is enclosed by highways. You have the Van Wyck on one side, you have the Long Island Expressway on the other side, you have the Grand Central on the other side, so that's already three. Now, each of these highways is enclosed, it's different than it was in previous generations, it's enclosed by fencing and barriers that are over 10 tefachim high, such that it wouldn't even necessarily require a Tzurat HaPetach, its actual physical barrier enclosures. The only side that is open and needed to be closed with Tzurat HaPetach is the fourth side of the Kew Garden Hills Eruv, which is 164th. 164th, which is the border between Kew Garden Hills and Hillcrest, Hollis, Jamaica Estates. That, huh? Well, no, 164th is parallel to Parsons, so it's a little bit... That we said before is not necessarily a big deal because we hold lehalacha like the Rov HaRishonim, and especially since Maran didn't weigh in on it, we hold that as long as there's not 600,000 people traversing through it every day, which there's not, the halacha is that it is eruvable. So that Main Street, Union Turnpike, all these things, I actually did some research how much pedestrian foot traffic there is in Times Square there, Fifth Avenue, Times Square, and it's shy of 600,000 people even on the busiest days. So if that's the case in Fifth Avenue or Times Square or whatever it is, you better believe that Main Street is significantly less than that. And even Ocean Parkway, Eastern Parkway, that's, you can't compare the amount of pedestrian traffic in Times Square to that of Eastern Parkway, Ocean Parkway, for states, that makes sense. Now,
the actual architectural plans of the Eruv are exactly the same as Great Neck and Brooklyn?
No, it's different.
Let me
say as follows. The Kew Garden Hills Eruv is, according to many poskim, acceptable even l'chatechila for Sfaradim. Because according to the Rambam, you have Omed Merubeh ala Parutz, Mishalosh Ruchot, from three sides, you have more fenced in, you have more standing barrier than open. Now again, there's one prat that the Rambam would disagree with. The Rambam also holds that you need to have Dilatot Ne'olot Balayla, that the city needs to be closed with doors at night in order to make it an Eruv that's Mamash L'chatechila. That Kew Garden Hills obviously doesn't have. There are some neighborhoods in Yerushalayim that do that on Shabbat, that they actually take barriers and close off the neighborhood in order to get that, in order to gain that Shita of the Rambam. In Chutz La'aretz, it's almost, you can't close off a neighborhood in New York. It doesn't work like that. You can't do that.
But Lakewood, some neighborhoods that are in a cul-de-sac?
Yeah.
It's like a trip of houses and like a U.
Yeah.
We'll close it off for Shabbat.
Could be. I mean, Lakewood, they have much more In Lakewood, you could pull off something like that. You know what I'm saying? Lakewood also has a firm mayor, but not surprisingly. But in New York or anywhere that's not Lakewood, it's very hard to pull something like that off, unless you have like some sort of, unless you're in KJ. You know what I'm saying? KJ.
So how come a highway is considered an enclosure?
Not the highway itself. The barriers around the highway.
The retaining walls on the highway.
Yeah, there's plenty. If you look, drive either. If you drive on the Van Wyck or the LIE or the Grand Central, you'll see that for the length of the, besides for a few spaces which are insignificant,
noise barrier on the side, I think.
Not noise.
Retaining
walls. It's a wall. Yeah. Anyway.
Could you even count the trees if they're
Well, it depends. It depends on the season, because sometimes the trees get very sparse, in which case there's more open space in the trees than enclosure, in which case that can't be used as a mechitza. So there's a lot of technical details that go into the construction of an eruv, but not surprisingly, the Rav Moshe would approve of the eruv in Kew Garden Hills for Ashkenazim, and now I'm telling you that in the construction of the eruv, or the reconstruction, the remodeling of the Kew Garden Hills eruv in the past 10 to 15 years, it became acceptable even according to Poskei Sfarad. Not so the Great Neck Eruv. I'm not even talking about Brooklyn now. The Great Neck Eruv is an Eruv that's acceptable L'da'at Ashkenazim. Now you got to follow the map. It's a little complicated, because the way it works is that there are patches of Kings Point, not of Great Neck, but maybe the Great Neck places that border on Kings Point that are not included, because there's big estates over there and they there's a lot of...
On the Yishra Road, you have to cross the street at one point. Otherwise,
yeah, nachon, because of there's certain things over there. There's certain patches of Kings Point that are not included in the Eruv for whatever reason. I know the engineer, or he's the pakach, which means the one who oversees the Great Neck Eruv, and he has, there's a lot of politics, obviously, just like anything else in life. What happens is, let me explain to you the difference between the Kew Garden Hills Eruv and the Great Neck Eruv. The Great Neck Eruv is kasher lemehadrin l'da'at rama, which means it's kosher according to Ashkenazim. What does that mean for Sfaradim? So then you go back, like I was telling you before, just like Maran Zichron Avraham has a tshuva in Yabei Omer Chelektet, where he allows construction of a, we'll call it an Ashkenazi Erev, for lack of a better term, because it would not necessarily conform to the dictums of Eruv as prescribed by the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch, but he allows, because of certain Sfikot and certain Tzerufim, to construct an Ashkenazi Rama Eruv in Los Angeles, for the same reason, even in Los Angeles, that would apply elsewhere as well. So even in Great Neck, Maran Zichron Avraham would allow constructing this Ashkenazi Eruv, which would be permissible for usage by Sfaradim as well. Even though, technically, the Shitav Rama of Tzurot HaPetach and other things, according to the Rambam and Pashtus, according to Maran Shulchan Aruch as well, wouldn't work. But using the mechanisms of Sfekot and Tzerufim that Maran Zichron Avraham uses all over his Sfarim, he allows construction of such an Eruv, especially in situations where people will carry anyway, in order to be Matzil Drabim from carrying Bili Eruv, Bevada, he allows using it. So, in a place like Great Neck, in a place like, I don't know, wherever, that you have such an Eruv, so for Ashkenazim, there's no question that it's permissible to use such an Eruv. The question is, what about Sfaradim? So Maran Zichron Avraham writes that it is permissible, according to the letter of the law, to carry, for Sfaradi, to carry even using what we'll call an Ashkenazi Erev, which is what happens in Great Neck. Is there room for stringency? Is there room not to carry in places where there's an Ashkenazi Erev? Maran Zichron Avraham says, absolutely. Maran Zichron Avraham himself didn't carry in Har Nof, in Yerushalayim, even though Har Nof was surrounded by a Rambam Erev. Nevertheless, Maran Zichron Avraham never carried outside of his house. There was a certain chumrah that he accepted upon himself. But certainly, over here we're not even talking about a Rambam Erev. We're talking about an Ashkenazi Erev. So again,
is that possible to make it a Sfar Erev?
Very difficult. In Great Neck, it's very difficult. The logistics are such that it would be nearly impossible. Especially on Yeshua Road, where it borders that...
Is it better that we're surrounded by water?
No.
Worse?
Not worse, but same. It doesn't... With regards to this specific, specific halacha, doesn't really make a difference. That, especially that stretch that borders, that runs parallel to Yeshua Road. I don't know what you call that exactly, Long Island Sound, or it's not exactly, whatever, that body of water that leads to the Long Island Sound, whatever you call that.
Bayou.
Huh? the day, whatever it is in Yodama. So that body of water, if you look at the barriers on Yishur Road, they're not always 10 tefachim high, which requires, especially over there, Eruvim of Tzurot HaPetach. That's why on Fridays you'll see a frum yid in disguise, who looks like he does this on purpose. He looks like he works for Verizon, going up on a cherry picker to, you know, check the Eruv and stuff. He always, you know, he does this specific, he's a good friend of mine. His name is Rav Chaim Yadlovker. Tamid Chacham Muflag, and he knows Eruvin like the back of his hand. But when he goes to do it, I don't know if you ever see him on Fridays, he goes up on a cherry picker, and he wears a bandana and like this thing, whatever, and he tucks his payas into the bandana, so he looks exactly like a redneck. He's like this big, bushy red beard with a bandana and whatever. So nobody would ever think that he's, you know, that he's, they'll think that he's just, you know, Verizon or you know, PSENG or you know, he does a befirush. Huh?
The truck says something else.
It's like, whatever.
Do they have to get permission from the towns?
It's complicated. It's complicated. There's a lot of, you have to get permission from the Jews, and then what do you do about the goyim? It's a lot of...
The same thing as Greenock?
Huh? Brooklyn would not be the same thing as Greenock.
Like.
No, very different. Even Rav Moshe would be okay with the Great Neck area for Ashkenazim, because Middle Neck Road is significantly different than Eastern Parkway and Ocean Parkway. There's no question. You can't even compare Bichlal. Rav Moshe considered, he also considered the car traffic on Eastern Parkway and Ocean Parkway, but the Middle Neck Road doesn't even graze the surface of Ocean Parkway. Huh? The architecture is always the same, more or less. The idea is what's running through it. Huh? Well, no, Queens is different because it already has the wall. So the nachon. Didn't say Queens. I said Kew Garden Hills. There's I think four or five Eruvin in Queens, and they all connect. The quality and logistics and halachics of the different Queens Eruvin are not all the same. They're not all created equal. Kew Gardens has a pretty good Eruv, not as good as Kew Garden Hills. Kew Garden Hills is the, hands down, the halachically most preferred Eruv in Queens. That's,
What's the deal with the Jewel Avenue part?
Yes, the connector between Queens and Forest Hills Eruvin. It's not Park Drive. Park Drive East is still part of the Kew Garden Hills Eruv, but when you exit Park Drive East and then you dip down, you walk down Jewel Avenue, walking from Jewel Avenue and then crossing the Grand Central into Forest Hills. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky. For many, many years, that connector was supposedly, you know, under an Eruv, but it was in a tremendous state of disrepair. But Hashem, it's been dealt with extensively in the past few years, which is Gishmak HaMaisis. And they really fixed it and they revamped it. Now again, so that connector is now up to par. It's considered a satisfactory connector Eruv. If you're walking between the barriers that surround Flushing Meadow Park, which is where the Eruvin, you know, if you're walking on Jewel Avenue, so you have Flushing Meadow Park on either side of you, and you have barriers. So the barriers are really what the boundaries of that Eruv over there. You just have to be very careful not to cross those barriers, which means once you walk into the park, so you're out of the Eruv, number one. And number two, the connector between Kew Garden Hills and Forest Hills is not the same level. It's still permissible according to the letter of the law to carry there, but it certainly doesn't carry the weight of the Kew Garden Hills Eruv. Yeah.
If someone doesn't want to migrate
an Eruv, okay.
That obviously you'd be able to carry your backyard if it's fenced in, right?
Correct.
Let's say the door fenced open, how big is it?
So the door, there's halachot about that. First of all, it has to be fenced in at least midrabanan, it needs to be fenced in from all four sides. Even if it has a door or a doorway and the doorway is open, as long as on all four sides you have something that's called omed merubeh ala parut, which means you have more enclosure than opening, which means even enclosures have doors. You're allowed to. That's, you know, that's how you get in and out. So the fact that there's a door doesn't necessarily mevatel, even without a tzurat ha-petach, especially if it has tzurat ha-petach. Tzurat ha-petach is the you know, the two poles with a lichi running on top of it. Even if you don't have that, even if it's just an opening, even if it's just what we call a pirza in halacha, which means just an opening, it doesn't necessarily diminish the quality of the eruv as long as you have more enclosure than, more standing enclosure than opening. So that's a different story.
That line specifically?
Yeah.
Or
What a problem that many people in Great Neck have is that they have private properties. They have front yards, backyards, you know, all sorts of stuff going on, but without enclosures. Many times, the, you know, the property line between two properties is not necessarily fenced off. It could just be a big area, and just because it's your property doesn't necessarily mean that you can carry from your house to your yard if it's not enclosed. You'd have to make either an Eiruv Kasher or an enclosure. There's all sorts of halachot. Just because it's your property doesn't mean, like we said before, you cannot even carry from one portion of your property to another if it's not Mukaf Mechitzot. You don't need to make an Eiruv per se, which means with bread or wine, but you still need to make mechitzot in order to consider the enclosure one big property. So that's...
What's the easiest way to make an arrow in the...
Build fences. Build a fence.
How many walls do you need? You can't string?
You can. You gotta know how to do it. You gotta know how to
do it.
Trees
don't fence?
Huh?
Like the evergreen trees that last year around are in
there? Evergreens, bushes, it's big... you have to know how, you know... How high they are, when do the... When does the thickness of the bush really start? It's not pashut. It's not pashut.
4 foot opening in a fence, a door is fine.
I remember, this was about 2 years ago. I don't remember when it was exactly, but there were a few snowstorms one after another. And it just like killed the Great Neck Arab. So at that point, everybody started panicking. Rabbi Cohen had asked me to come and, you know, just build and not only construct, but make sure everything, the Arab on this complex, which is really from where the, you know, from Park Place, whatever you call that,
West
Park, whatever, from where the Autobahn place begins, you know, there's a neighbor over here, over there, he calls the entrance to the parking lot from the back, he calls it the Autobahn. Anyway, so from there, from here, so I had to deal with it. Then I made the Tzurat HaPetach over here, I made it pretty high, and the next time the garbage truck came, he knocked it off. A whole matzav. Anyway, but it's not pasha. It's a matzav. It's
they had wooden beams.
They still have. They had. I mean, they still have wooden beams, but
that's the
string. The string's there.
So apparently they raised it because the garbage truck, you know, had a matzav with that thing. Meikaradin, you don't really even need that because most of the I would call it the storefronts on Middle Neck Road are more numerous than the openings of, there's basically two openings for this complex that is here and then from the lady section. So there's those two openings are much less than the enclosures on this side. It is machloket haposkim, do we go side by side or do we go collectively through all of the walls, all the side? There's a lot of halachot. I can't, you know, go through all of hilchot eruvin on regel achat. I wish I could, but I can't.
Why isn't water like an
aisle? Sometimes water does help, but it also depends how thick the, how deep the ocean or the whatever lake bottom or river bottom is. If it's more than 10 tefachim deep, it cannot be considered to be part of the enclosure. There's many, many different halachot.
If you have a town with a moat around it, it's 10
tefachim. Moat is different, you know what I'm saying? This ain't Camelot, you know what I'm saying? We don't have moats. You know, but,
you're saying showers,
uh-huh.
But
what are you saying?
You think deeper is better? Or
shallower is better. Yeah, shallower. Masechet Eruvin, Baba. Chazar. It's time to do Chazar and Eruvin.
Can you explain how to put an Eruv with the string?
No. It's not simple. Yeah, it's not simple.
How do you shut the cat on
a yeah. Anyway, it's not the. It's very, very complex halachot, and it's very subjective, and it's very, you know, you have to take all of the nitty gritty circumstances into consideration. So.
Verizon wires aren't good.
Anyway. Bekitzur, so that's another very big mistake that people make. Oh, I have a backyard, it's my property, I can carry there on Shabbat. Not necessarily. So it's a very big deal. Unless it's fenced in properly, it won't be mutar. Huh? At least 10 tefachim. Yeah, maybe. Oh, you want to open that cross vent?
No,
okay.
Not one. Okay,
so.
Open the door, but noisy.
Yeah, open it, who cares? Yeah, Bekitzur, I'd rather air than, you know, than quiet. Bekitzur, Rabotai, you have to understand, all these halachot are very, very complicated. Hence, is there room to avoid using, for Sfaradim at least, to avoid using the great neck Eruv? Absolutely. No question about that. Simple understanding of Rambam and Maran HaShulchan Aruch is that it's pasul. Nevertheless, is there room to allow using it? Bevadai, in safek, it's kasher. Person who tells you you're mechallel Shabbat because you're using the great neck Eruv is chamor. The word b'di'avad is misused. B'di'avad means post facto, which means after the fact.
Right.
L'chatechila means before the fact. So if you haven't done it yet, that means it's not b'di'avad. Is there a mekel yesh lo al ma she'yismoch v'machmir tavo alav bracha? Yeah, absolutely. So if a person, now is there room to say, yeah, sometimes a person says, well, if I don't carry, then my wife can't carry either. That's not necessarily a correct argument. That's incorrect. Because if something's mutan mi'karadin, you want to be machmir on yourself, you're not really allowed to impose, if there's room mi'karadin to allow doing something, you don't necessarily have the authority to impose that chumrah on others, even on your wife and children. So if a person doesn't carry himself, a sfaradi doesn't carry himself in great neck, okay? If his wife carries, if his wife wants to carry or push a stroller or whatever it is, and he doesn't want her to, he doesn't necessarily have a case. She has she can say, you know, Adoni, you don't want to carry. That's your own prerogative. But you can't force that on me. It's complicated, but that's really the case. If a person doesn't use the Eruv himself, are you allowed to ask your wife, your children, or a friend to carry something for you when you yourself don't carry? Are you, huh? What shvut is shvut achshav? I mean, there's a shvut is shvut. You're using a go. You're using a Jew to be your Shabbos goy. You don't carry. Say, okay, so you be my Shabbos goy. Does it work?
You
carry. Oh, yafe. So if it's something that's, you know, clearly an isur, then that would be asur. But if it's something that's mutar meikara, then you're just being machmir. It is permissible to ask other people who do not engage in this chumrah to do that, quote unquote, melacha, which it's not, for you. So that would be mutar. Now.
Can you pick and choose what you do
with
it or not?
Like,
I don't carry
except
with your children.
No.
How is it okay for us, first of all? I mean, without Ramah, it is fine.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. But meaning, it's a long tshuva. Yes and no, because the way at least Maran Zichron Bracha rolled in halacha was, you know, using a lot of tzerufim, even sometimes when they were against Maran HaShulchan Aruch. For the same reason that sometimes you go out and you rely on Bishul Isayin standards that are lower than Maran's, according to Maran, it's treif. Or sometimes you rely on meat standards of Bet Yosef that are less than Maran's, according to Maran, it's treif. How are you relying on that? Because sometimes we rely on standards or, you know, opinions in halakha that we usually wouldn't, but when the way tzirufim work in halakha is that you take a bunch of different opinions in halakha, even though individually we may not hold like any of these individual shitot, but when you kind of package them together and gift wrap it, you make a brand new shita b'halakha, and it is permissible to rely on that. Over there is room. That's how, you know, Poskei Sfarad have ruled for hundreds of years. So it wouldn't be anything new, but it's just something that is classically used by the Yabi Om in many places. This is not. So I'm giving you a Marei Makom. If you look in Yabi Om Chelek Tet or Rachaim Siman Lamed Bet, you'll see exactly how there's room for leniency even by an Ashkenazi Eruv. Yeah.
So technically speaking, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The Eruv.
Leave Brooklyn alone.
Just the mechanics of it. The area, the point of starting would be Eruvable, but yeah, the actual Eruv itself.
I know why you're doing this, because you want to make life easier for our Shirazi friends in Brooklyn. Yeah, that's no. Anyway, Bikitsa, yeah, go ahead.
Is chewing like a...
The Rega is in the middle of this Shirazi Zechshem,
The area itself is Eruvable according to Sephardim, but not Ashkenazim. Yeah. But the actual Eruv that was built is okay according to Ashkenazim, but not Sephardim. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying depending...
No, the vast... The
construction of it doesn't really matter if the area,
right,
or if the domain is non-eruvable.
But how could a Sephardi make an Ashkenazi type of Eruv?
Oh, that's a difference. So that's not a question on Brooklyn, that's a question on Great Neck and everywhere. That's a question on LA.
Ashkenazi made it, we didn't make it.
Huh?
In Great Neck, Ashkenazi made it, and we're just using it.
Correct.
Can a Sephardi make an Ashkenazi Eruv?
Well, that seems to be something historically by the Sephardim that we tend to always latch on to stuff that Ashkenazim do, whether it's in Eruvin or Kashrus or whatever. It's got to change, but anyway, whatever it is, nachon, that's historically, unfortunately, you know, every... You know, every faction in Am Yisrael has their pros and cons. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has things that we have to learn from one another. Sfaradim have stuff to learn from Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim have stuff to learn from Sfaradim. And, you know, that's the way it works. Ashkenazim historically are much better at organizational skills than Sfaradim. You know, it's just not one of our gifts. That's, you know, Ashkenazim get things done. It's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? By us, we talk about getting things done, we have meetings about getting things done, and talk about it again, and talk, and talk, and talk, and have more meetings, and talk, and, you know, commit, and whatever. Just doing it seems to be a little bit, you know, execution. We're very good at planning, but execution seems to be, historically, a little bit of an issue for Sfaradim. That's, Ashkenazim are very good at execution. They plan a little bit, they talk a little bit, they raise the money, and they pull the trigger. We're good at everything, but pulling the trigger.
That's
huh? No, no, even the money is, even well, Naniyah, I guess different communities are different. In, but even if we have the money, sometimes we have all the money and we still can't pull the trigger. Then it's mana asot.
When we do execute, it's over
budget. Huh?
If we
execute, it's over budget and, you know, misorganized. This mana asot, that's... So we have a lot of stuff to learn, but Baruch Hashem, we're getting better, we're getting there. It takes time, you know what I'm saying? We're also in this country 50 years less, you know, where the Sfaradim in this country, whether it's Persians or Bukharians or Syrians, not really, because Syrians are here longer than any other community of the Sfaradim in the United States. But everybody else is just about 50 to 70 years behind the Ashkenazim, so it takes time to catch up, so we're catching up, that's what's happening. That's the way it works. So don't feel bad. Yeah, Ashkenazim once were immigrants here too. You have to realize that. You know that. You know, there was a time where they came and they didn't speak the language and they didn't, you know, it took time. It takes time to build up. Manasot. They're just here 50 years later. Earlier. Slicha. So that's really what it is. So, Rabbi Yisai, that being said, what do you want to say? What's the matter? Okay, so don't, you know, again, I'm not weighing in. I'm certainly not of the caliber to even... think, to even dream of giving an opinion about the Brooklyn Erev. Gdolim Asher Lefanenu already spoke about it's water under the bridge and it's a machloket that's going to be never ending because it's a machloket aposkim like any other. But
didn't he write a letter also?
Who? Manan? Yeah, he did. He didn't really mean for it to get publicized. He very, very wisely avoided getting in the limelight and getting into it with Rav Moshe. Manan Zichron Berachah had a wonderful relationship with Rav Moshe, an excellent relationship. And even when there were certain people who tried several times to poison that relationship, Rav Moshe never had it. And he always, even though Manan Zichron Berachah was significantly younger than Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe always held Manan Zichron Berachah in the highest regard, always, no matter what. And notwithstanding, he knew that there were many machlokot between them. Yeah, the Brooklyn Erev isn't the first and certainly not the last machlokot between the Abiyom and the Igrot Moshe. Now, the problem, not the problem, but in America, especially in Brooklyn, the vast, vast, vast majority of Ashkenazim in Brooklyn accepted unequivocally Rav Moshe's psak about the Erev. That's the Litvaks and most Hasidim in Flatbush and Borough Park. That is Hasidei Chabad in Crown Heights, 100%. The Admon Milubavitch, Alav Shalom, was very, very supportive of Rav Moshe's psak against carrying in Brooklyn on Eastern Parkway. Nachon, he told the Hasidim many times that it's asur to carry, and he wouldn't. They tried several times to construct an Erev in Crown Heights, and the Admon was very, very against it. He didn't want to hear of it. Bichlan, he was very. There was a wonderful relationship between the Admon Milubavitch and Rav Moshe. Also, you should know there's a tshuva in Igrot Moshe. The Rebbe actually bought or sent as a gift Tefillin Shel Rabbeinu Tam to Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know that?
Yeah.
He sent him a pair. That in the beginning, Rav Moshe didn't want to wear it because it's not really minhaga alitaim. But when the Rebbe sent it to him as a matana, so he started wearing it betzinah. He started wearing it. It was interesting that he sent Rav Moshe a pair of tefillin shel Admor Hazaken of the of the Ba'al HaTanya, Tefillin Shel Chabad, which are kasher, it's not exactly the masoret of most Ashkenazim, besides for Chabadnikim,
right? Huh?
Besides for the size, the Ktav, the size, Parashiyot, there's a lot of differences between them. He stopped. Yeah, he wore a ben mitam, but when he left Luban, where he was the Rav, so he stopped.
He wanted a certain stuff, and the Rav said, "I'll find it."
Yeah, and yeah, so he sent it to him. He wasn't going to wear it bichlal, but when he sent it to him as a matana, so lichvodo shel admor, he put it on. So he was always very grateful. There was a very big kavod, a very big mutual respect between the admor and Rav Moshe Alav Hashalom. So there's many differences. Maybe I'll speak about that in a moment, in the next year, but there are significant differences between different shitot of tefillin, which can cause serious issues in halacha. I'll speak about that in a moment. Ironically enough, tefillin shel Chabad are the only ones that are kasher l'da'at Sfaradim. So I spoke about this before. It has nothing to do with the size and nothing to do with the ktav, but Be'ezat Hashem will revisit that. Know that in halacha there's two parts. There's knowing the halacha and executing the halacha, and there's also being practical. Not everything that's mutar is necessarily right. And not everything that's right is necessarily halachically correct. You have to know, really, like I told you before, very, very pashut. If you carry in Brooklyn, you might be doing something that's halachically permissible, but know that your family is going to be shunned and your kids are going to modern Orthodox schools for the rest of your life. That's just the way it is. It's stam, fact. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, so that's one of the... No one asked you to live in Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? But you want to live there or whatever, so you got to, you know, when in Rome, so... Do as the Romans do, you know what I'm saying? You don't like it in Rome, so move to Milan, you know what I'm saying? So that's the story, you know what I'm saying? No, you don't like Tehran, so move to Esfahan, you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah, only Shiraz, you know what I'm saying? Tov, matomim, yeah.
I think I know the answer is no, but I just want
to... When you put it like that, you know what I'm saying? What do you want me to say? Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
If you have something in your mouth, you're chewing it.
Asur. Asur. Yeah. No question. Tov, Rabotai, we're going to take a 5-minute break and then we'll regroup. Adkan. Anybody have a Kaddish? Okay.